The Navy steps in to help ships in the Persian Gulf and the NATO Secretary General to remain in place. All of that and more today, July 6th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Simone Perez, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. First up, the Pentagon wants to limit Chinese and Russian activities on college campuses in the United States. The Defense Department released a blacklist of mostly Chinese and Russian research institutes that it says have tried to infiltrate sensitive Defense Department research at colleges across America. Adversaries have been able to reportedly steal U.S. defense technology through the Pentagon's relationships with research institutions in the U.S. The list of foreign institutions was required by the 2019 Defense Authorization Act and encouraged by a presidential memo that outlined guidance for agencies to ensure research security. A 2020 Government Accountability Office report also recommended that the Pentagon safeguard U.S. investments in scientific research from malign actors. U.S. law enforcement has tracked many attempts to steal technology from the U.S. defense sector. The Justice Department indicted four Chinese nationals in October of last year in connection with an alleged intelligence campaign seeking to turn Americans into Chinese spies. The Department of Justice found the group used a purported academic institute at Ocean University of China to recruit individuals from around 2008 to 2018. In a 2021 case, a Chinese national received a 2-year prison sentence for illegally exporting technology with military applications in anti-submarine warfare to Northwestern Polytechnical University. And a former Harvard University professor received a sentence for lying about his involvement with a Chinese talent recruitment plan and affiliation with a Chinese university. The Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering signed a June 8 policy memo requiring all research projects awarded through the Pentagon must go through a review of possible conflicts of interest from foreign influence. Starting in fiscal year 2024, this year in October, no American institutions of higher education with a Confucius Institute may receive DoD funding unless issued a specific waiver. That follows guidance set by the fiscal year 2021 National Defense Authorization Act. Another important story, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg will stay in office for another year. Stoltenberg is a former Norwegian prime minister. He has been NATO's top civilian official since 2014. His term had been due to expire last year, but was extended to keep continuity within the alliance after Russia invaded Ukraine. President Joe Biden and his NATO counterparts had been due to name a successor when they were to meet in Lithuania later this month, but leaders could not agree on a new candidate. Most NATO countries wanted to name a woman to the top post. Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen was thought to be a favorite after meeting with Biden last month. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen ruled out her candidacy. Other possible names floated, such as Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte and UK Defense Secretary Ben Wallace. It's the fourth time Stoltenberg has had his mandate extended. It will make him the second longest serving NATO Secretary General. Stoltenberg has managed to tread a very fine line in keeping consensus in the alliance. He has refrained from criticizing members led by more isolationist presidents and prime ministers. Here's why it matters. Russia's invasion in Ukraine has also complicated the politics of naming Stoltenberg's successor. Poland opposes the next secretary general coming from a Nordic state after Stoltenberg's long tenure. Polish officials wanted to name someone from a Baltic state. But other European countries are concerned over a nominee from the Baltics or Poland. Those regions appear to have an unconditional support for Ukraine, including on NATO membership. The U.S. and Germany, among others, insist Ukraine should not join the alliance before the war ends. In other news, the Pentagon is set to make some changes following a 45-day review of how classified information is handled. For more on this, Military Times reporter Jonathan Lehrfeld breaks it down for us. So Jonathan, can you tell us a bit about what the Pentagon is looking to now do with its policies and such on classified documents?
So the Pentagon said yesterday that it's looking into updating the policies and the procedures that it uses to manage classified information. The Pentagon just did this big review into the security of and accessing that classified info, and it came up with a bunch of different recommendations. So a few of those recommendations, which Secretary of Defense Austin approved, included things like deadlines and plans to ensure that personnel are included and accounted for in designated security info tech systems, also that personnel have a valid non-disclosure agreement on file. The recs included a proposal for plans to establish a new DoD office to monitor insider threats, and then also Austin directed in those recommendations plans for the Defense Counterintelligence and Security Agency. A lot of the deadlines and plans are for later this summer and the fall for a bunch of different departments and offices in the Pentagon.
If you could remind listeners why the Pentagon decided to do this review in the first place.
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons as to why this review began, but it largely is in part due to a massive leak of highly sensitive documents on social media from earlier this year. So in April, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin directed this review around the time when Airman First Class Jack Teixeira, a member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard, was arrested and accused of the unauthorized disclosure of national defense information. You might remember that story from the past few months. And right now, Teixeira has pleaded not guilty to the federal felony charges, but we'll have to wait and see where that trial goes. Also, a defense official told me and some other reporters at the Pentagon yesterday that a growing number of military facilities that handle classified info is part of what has prompted the need for consistent and understandable standards.
And any other reasons why this is important?
Yeah, it's important for a number of different reasons. And even though the Pentagon says that the overwhelming majority of those at the DoD with access to classified info are following the rules, they obviously still had recommendations. And the findings from that review said that there was not a single point of failure, in part meaning that there's a lot of work to still be done.
Thanks, Jonathan. For more conversations like that one, please like and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on your radar for today, Iran tried to seize two oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz Wednesday, firing shots at one of them. That's according to the U.S. Navy. The Navy said it responded in both cases, and the Iranian naval vessels backed off afterward. Both commercial ships continued their voyages. A spokesman for the Navy's Fifth Fleet said the gunfire directed at the second vessel did not cause casualties or major damage. Iran did not immediately comment on the incidents. The U.S. Navy says that Iran has seized at least five commercial vessels in the last 2 years and has harassed more than a dozen others. Many of the incidents have occurred in and around the Strait of Hormuz. About 20% of the world's crude oil passes through that waterway. Tensions with Iran have steadily risen since the Trump administration withdrew from Iran's 2015 nuclear agreement with world powers and restored crippling sanctions on Iran's economy.
In theory, the so-called Iran deal was supposed to protect the United States and our allies from the lunacy of an Iranian nuclear bomb, a weapon that will only endanger the survival of the Iranian regime.
Iran responded by ramping up its nuclear activities. It is also providing armed drones to Russia for its war against Ukraine. And now here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. The U.S. military is calling for better weapons to fight artificial intelligence. That's according to a needs statement by the U.S. Undersecretary of Defense for Research and Engineering published in May. Switzerland will participate in a European air defense project. Designed by Germany, the effort will complement existing air defense systems established by NATO. Switzerland is not part of the alliance, neither is Austria, which will also participate. And South Korea's military said the satellite North Korea tried to launch in May was not advanced enough to conduct military reconnaissance from space, as the country had claimed. And on this day in history, in 1976, women were admitted to the United States Naval Academy for the first time. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode features stories by Jonathan Lehrfeld and the Associated Press. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruce. Have a great day.